The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
News, science, the unexplained, space and the cosmos, exploring our past, our future, and the mysteries of our universe, taking a critical look at reality and a journey to the edges of human understanding. The future is now. This is Micah Hanks.
From the high mountains of Appalachia in a bunker below ground, welcome one and all. It is the Micah Hanks Program. Coming to you, as always, from the dark heart of the Appalachian Hills and continuing to monitor America's war against unidentified objects in its airspace, be they balloons or whatever else. Although at this point, we may never know. I'll tell you why here in just a bit. Yes, President Biden, on the eve of a journey that would take him to Ukraine. Yes, late last week, he finally spoke out about this strange circumstance. And shortly thereafter, the United States called off the chase. Ladies and gents, we now know that we have not found these objects or any debris from them after they were shot down in recent days. And that leaves a lot of questions. What was shot down? Why? Will we ever really know? If indeed these were Pico balloons, hobbyist aircraft, in other words. Yes, we've got that and a lot of other news to analyze this week. Welcome aboard. Everybody file in. Let's get right to business here. Yeah, it's been an interesting time, I'll tell you that. Trying to make sense of all this. I've been doing a lot of shows, a lot of podcasts, answering a lot of questions, reaching out to military officials. Oh, and that's something else we're going to be talking about this week, too, because there are questions about a particular photograph that has surfaced in recent days as well. Yeah, that having to do with an alleged unidentified object photographed over Mosul, Iraq. This apparently also something that was examined as part of a series of images by the UAP task force. Well, the Pentagon has nothing to say about that. In fact, the Pentagon has been essentially mum on this entire affair in recent days. I have repeatedly reached out to spokespeople at the Pentagon, as well as the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. And although I've had some limited communication with public duty officers up there at the Pentagon, they really are being tight-lipped about everything. Really, pretty much everything we get is only coming through approved and authorized channels that essentially the press conference is being held by John Kirby, Pat Ryder, and others. Oh yes, and of course, President Biden's statement on Thursday last week, which we're going to be spending a significant amount of time on this week. Over the weekend for ex-subscribers, we also touched a bit on what senators have had to say. And really briefly, just to summarize that aspect, although we may have more to say about that as well a bit later. Many senators who attended a classified briefing last Tuesday came out of that briefing, and they're talking with the press. Senator John Kennedy, Senator Marco Rubio, a lot of them had been saying, look, you know, everything they told us in that room seems to indicate that, A, those three objects that were shot down involved incidents or objects that are just like the ones that we have been hearing about for years. These are among the hundreds of reports that have been collected by first the UAP task force, and thereafter now, of course, these are being examined by the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. But in addition to there being hundreds of these kinds of reports, the senators were all essentially saying also that if you're confused, that's the right perception of the situation, because right now nobody seems to really know what's going on. Marco Rubio in particular was saying, look, 99% of what was going on in that room that they briefed us about, that should be publicly available. He's saying that essentially this is unnecessary secrecy. The United States citizenry deserves to know what is going on in our skies, especially if it could potentially be a hazard to aviators, like Ryan Graves and so many others have said in recent days. Oh, and speaking of, somebody else who said that in recent days was Alex Dietrich, one of the witnesses to the 2004 Nimitz incident involving the famous Tic Tac. right over there at thedebrief.org. She featured an op-ed for us on Friday morning last week. So if you haven't read that yet, definitely go check out what Alex Dietrich had to say. And of course, I am pleased to be able to welcome her to the fold. The many people who have contributed to The Debrief with her ideas on this subject. She, of course, Ryan Graves, who we mentioned there a few moments ago. Christopher Mellon, Jacques Vallée, Leslie Kane, who was on the show with us last week. Rolf Blumenthal, Avi Loeb, so many other people who have so much to say. So many perspectives to lend. He hasn't written for us directly, but I often go to Mick West and we have featured a lot of quotes from him. In fact, actually, the article I did following President Biden's statements, I featured several quotes from Mick West as well as Robert Powell of the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies in that article. So we always try to provide a diverse array of opinions, but I'm very glad to say, as always, The Debrief continues to always have the key players, the most important voices, right there all in one place. And so definitely check out what Alex Dietrich had to say about this situation involving balloons, as well as the less conventional aerial objects, the likes of which she and Commander Dave Fravor and others encountered back in 2004. I'll, of course, have her op-ed linked in the show notes for you, along with all the stories we cover this week. And speaking of stories, in recent days, there's been a bit of a controversy involving a, of all things, treasure hunt, but also the FBI's involvement with that. AP reporting here, the court-ordered release of a trove of government photos, videos, maps, and other documents involving the FBI's secretive search for Civil War-era gold has one treasure hunter more convinced than ever of a cover-up. And now he's determined to prove it. The man who alleges the cover-up is Dennis Parada. He waged a legal battle to force the FBI to turn over records of its excavation in Dent's Run, Pennsylvania, where local lore says an 1863 shipment of Union gold disappeared on its way to the U.S. Mint in Philadelphia. Now, we've covered this story in the past, but the latest is that the FBI, which went there to Dent's Run, and after its own sophisticated testing, suggested that tons of gold might be buried there. They have long insisted that the dig that they conducted came up empty-handed, that they never found any kind of treasure. Well, Mr. Parada and his advisors, who have now, they say, spent countless hours, according to the AP, poring over newly released government records, say they believe otherwise. In fact, they are now accusing the FBI of distorting key evidence and improperly withholding records in an apparent effort, they say, to conceal the recovery of a historic, extremely valuable gold cache. Meanwhile, the Bureau apparently defends its handling of the materials. I've just got to say, of all the things that turn up in FBI files obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, treasure hunting and the FBI's involvement in searches for Civil War-era treasure, that's not the kind of thing you usually see. At least not the kind of thing I usually see in my line of work. In the days ahead, though, I think I will be giving you an update on what one recent FOIA request that I was involved with for several weeks finally yielded. It's not exactly Civil War treasure, but I will say it is quite a trove of documents, and this, of all things related to mysterious cattle deaths that have been ongoing out there in the American West. Once I've waded through everything, I intend to give you guys a full update right here on the program. But I also mentioned earlier, by the way, that President Biden had made his way to Ukraine shortly after giving this address about these unknown objects that were shot down last week. And a lot of folks, including some of the president's political opponents, were saying, you know, this was a brave move. I mean, to go to Ukraine, to walk in its streets with President Zelensky, and as many have pointed out, as of Monday, President's Day, how fitting. Yes, here were Biden and Zelensky walking the streets together, out in the open, as air raid sirens were blaring in the background. Even the folks over there at National Review were commenting on this, saying, you know, that was a brave move, folks. AP reporting here, President Joe Biden swept unannounced into Ukraine on Monday to meet with President Volodymyr Zelensky in a defiant display of Western solidarity with a country still fighting what he called a brutal and unjust war, days before the first anniversary of Russia's invasion. The statement that Biden gave was as follows. 1 year later, Kyiv stands, and Ukraine stands. Democracy stands. He says the Americans stand with you, and the world stands with you. Speaking of presidents, on this President's Day, we were also hearing that tributes were pouring in for former President Jimmy Carter after it was announced late on Sunday that he would be entering hospice care. According to NPR, it was announced that the 98-year-old statesman would enter hospice care at home following a recent series of short hospital stays. They added that politicians, celebrities, organizations, and more have been heaping praise on the one-term Democrat who continued leading a life of public service long after he left the White House. According to comedian Jon Stewart, Jimmy Carter is one of the kindest, most thoughtful people I've ever had the honor of meeting. He's the best of us. You know, he was also an alleged UFO witness. Many of you have probably heard the story about when he was the governor of Georgia. Jimmy Carter also had filed a report, I think he actually sent it to MUFON, about an object that he and several others saw. And partly due to that observation of an object, which some have argued had simply been a celestial object, but he seemed to be convinced that whatever it was unusual, due partly to that incident, when he entered office, Jimmy Carter also, for a time, pursued the UFO question as president. In fact, he had asked then-CIA Director George Herbert Walker Bush to brief him on the topic. He was briefed, actually, prior to the election. And then after he won the election, and there's been much ado made of this over the years, but he, of course, went to Bush and asked for all the UFO secrets once he became president. And Bush, of course, reportedly told him, "Sir, you don't have a need to know for that information." Now, I've seen this on documentaries and in articles over the years. If the president doesn't have a need to know for the UFO information, then who in the world does? But we have to keep a couple of things in mind about Carter asking Bush for that information. What actually happened? Yeah, there is a little more to this story. What actually happened was he had been president-elect at that time. He hadn't been sworn into office. And before being sworn in, he went to Bush and said, "Look, I want to know what you know about UFOs." And Bush essentially responded, keeping in mind, by the way, Bush a Republican, Carter a Democrat. He asks him, "Sir, I need to know if you plan to keep me on as your director of Central Intelligence." And Carter was up front. He said, "No, I intend to appoint somebody else." To which Bush responded and said, "Well, then, I can tell you the process you might be able to go through to try and get that information released prior to your inauguration, but I really can't give that to you." The other thing a lot of people have pointed out about that, though, is that had Carter kept Bush on as his director of intelligence, it might have been less likely that Bush would go on to become vice president under Ronald Reagan and then, of course, to run for president himself. So some actually see that issue over UFOs and Carter saying, "I want to appoint somebody else to your position." A lot of people actually see that as being a formative moment for Mr. Bush, who went on to serve one term as president himself. But no, he did not outright deny the president of the United States that information. He denied it to the president-elect after the president-elect told him, "I'm not going to keep you on once I'm sworn in." That's what actually happened. But there have been a lot of presidents on this President's Day, it's worth mentioning here, who have claimed to have had an interest in UFOs. Before he took office, Ronald Reagan, as governor of California, reportedly saw a UFO from his private aircraft and told his pilot to chase that object, whatever it might have been. Ronald also was known to have kept an interest in the subject once he entered the Oval Office. Of course, there's that story about them showing E.T. there at the White House one evening and him allegedly going to Steven Spielberg and whispering to him that, "You know, a lot of what's in this film, I suspect, is exactly how things really are." And let's not forget about the instances where Ronald Reagan also talked about how he hoped that humankind would put aside its differences if ever we were faced with some sort of an extraterrestrial threat. You may recall him saying that before the United Nations. He actually said it a few times. And of course, there have been insinuations for years about other presidents before Reagan who might have had an interest in this subject. What we can, of course, say for sure is that he was not the last. Reagan's immediate successor had very little to say about it, George Herbert Walker Bush, but that probably is not surprising considering that as CIA director he had so little to say about it. But then after him, of course, Bill Clinton was quite interested. He reportedly told his friend Webb Hubble to go and find two things for him: who actually killed Kennedy, and also what's really going on with UFOs. Mr. Hubble apparently wasn't able to find out either of those things, but on numerous occasions when asked about that over the years, Bill Clinton has come out and said, "Had I ever found anything, I certainly would have told the American people about it." In fact, in recent years, I think Clinton actually said that during an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live. He's asked virtually all former presidents that same question or a version of it. George W. Bush, of course, said, "I'm not really going to talk about that." Former President Obama had initially kind of played down the UFO subject, but once all this stuff about the Navy footage came out and we had the establishment of the UAP task force, you may recall, of course, President Obama going on late night TV and saying, well, you know, there are objects and there are videos of these things and we don't know what they are. He's essentially saying the same thing that a lot of senators were saying coming out of that classified briefing last week on Capitol Hill. Yeah, there's a lot of objects in the sky that we don't seem to know what they are. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're aliens. They could be foreign surveillance. They could be balloons. They could be a lot of things. And yes, Navy fighter pilots say that they film these things from time to time. So my point is, on this President's Day 2023, that there are a lot of presidents over the years who have said things about the UAP subject, and our very own President Biden in recent days became the latest to come out and speak at length about unidentified aerial objects, as he termed it. And that's what we're going to be focusing our analysis on when we come back here in just a moment. I do also want to give a quick shout out, by the way, to the folks over at PodSauce, because they did a roundup of the top five podcasts in recent days that have addressed this situation with all the shoot downs of unidentified objects in U.S. airspace. Listen to their lineup here. The first one was The Daily from the New York Times. That's probably a shoo-in since they had Julian Barnes, one of the New York Times reporters, who was on that episode actually discussing all this. He's been one of the guys who's had probably the most to say about this, and of course, in a paper of record no less. But get this, number two on the list, The Micah Hanks Program. That's right, they mentioned the recent episode where Brett Tingley of Space.com joined me, and he and I dug into all this, and of course, behind the scenes, off the microphone, he and I continue to remain in touch about all this, because it is indeed, admittedly, a pretty baffling situation. But the other podcasts here on the list are the Wall Street Journal's What's News. They also put the What a Day podcast, and then finally, BBC News World Service Global News podcast. Well, quite a thrill indeed to see your friendly neighborhood podcaster listed alongside all these national news heavy hitters. I guess it just goes to show that sometimes hard work does pay off. And of course, the entire team over there at The Debrief is doing a lot of that very same work with me. And on that note, don't forget that every week over there at The Debrief, in addition to our reporting on all the things happening in the world and in our skies, we also have an entire section of podcasts over there on the right-hand side of the page. Just scroll down, you'll see podcasts, and there you'll find this show as well as every installment of Rebelliously Curious with Chrissy Newton and our newest show, which is The Debrief Weekly Report, and that's hosted by our very own MJ Banias and Stephanie Girk. But she was out last week, and so I actually jumped on the mic with MJ as a last-minute co-host, and he and I talked about this balloon situation as well. So, if you like this program, lots of excellent podcasts from the Debrief team and I. And, of course, don't forget about that weekly intelligence brief newsletter penned by none other than yours truly. It goes out every Thursday. You can sign up for that also right there at thedebrief.org. Okay, when we come back, we're going to dig in deep with last week's statement by President Biden about unidentified aerial objects. Right here in a moment on the Micah Hanks Program. Three aerial objects shot down over North America. They weren't Chinese spy balloons, but apparently we don't know what they were, and perhaps we never will. Welcome back. It is the Micah Hanks Program. Yeah, they called off the chase, so to speak, over the weekend because it was finally announced that after turning up empty-handed for several days, these inclement weather conditions up there over Alaska, and really, in all of the searches for these suspected balloons, whatever these objects were, they weren't able to find them, so they said, folks, we are done. We're going to have to call quits here. But that, of course, leaves the American public and really people all around the world wondering, so what did you guys really shoot down? What was that all about? Why did you do it? And as the week wore on in recent days, by this time last week, many people were asking, why has President Biden, as of yet, had so little to say? So little, in fact, that he had said literally nothing. When asked, I think, very briefly at the White House about the shoot down of one of those objects, I think the one over Alaska, I think all he had to say at that time was success. It was like a one-word response. And so a lot of people were saying, okay, this is getting weird. They knew, of course, that he had a planned trip to Poland. And, of course, as of today, we now know that he also extended that journey a little further east. Yeah, he made it to Ukraine. Quite a bold move, indeed, considering what's been happening there in recent days. But, indeed, with all that in mind, on Thursday, President Biden did finally speak out about this. I want to go over to the audio now from that speech, and we're going to do some analysis. We may have to stop a couple of times along the way to clarify certain statements were made, but right now we will feature that audio from President Biden's statement when he finally came out for the first time and spoke about the shoot down of these objects over U.S. and Canadian airspace.
Last week, in the immediate aftermath of the incursion by China's high-altitude balloon, our military, through the North American Aerospace Defense Command, so-called NORAD, closely scrutinized our airspace, including enhancing our radar to pick up more slow-moving objects above our country, around the world. In doing so, they tracked three unidentified objects, one in Alaska, Canada, and over Lake Huron in the Midwest. They acted in accordance with established parameters for determining how to deal with unidentified aerial objects in U.S. airspace. At their recommendation, I gave the order to take down these three objects due to hazards to civilian commercial air traffic and because we could not rule out the surveillance risk of sensitive facilities. We acted in consultation with the Canadian government. I spoke personally with Prime Minister Trudeau and from Canada on Saturday. And just as critically, we acted out of an abundance of caution and an opportunity that allowed us to take down these objects safely. Our military and the Canadian military are seeking to recover the debris so we can learn more about these three objects. Our intelligence community is still assessing all three incidences. They're reporting to me daily and will continue their urgent efforts to do so, and I will communicate that to the Congress. We don't yet know exactly what these three objects were, but nothing right now suggests they were related to China's spy balloon program or that they were surveillance vehicles from any other country. The intelligence community's current assessment is that these three objects were most likely balloons tied to private companies, recreation or research institutions studying weather or conducting other scientific research.
Now, of course, a lot of us get to that point and they hear research balloons. Hold on. You mean you guys probably just shot down a bunch of balloons that were either, as had been said earlier last week by John Kirby on Tuesday, maybe commercial or at very least benign balloons that were involved with scientific organizations or something like that? Why then did you shoot them down? Why, Mr. President, did you give the order to shoot those objects down? It is a little baffling, even now, especially considering the fact that they've called off the chase. I'll have more to say about that in a moment. First, let's get back to this audio.
When I came into office, I instructed our intelligence community to take a broad look at the phenomenon of unidentified aerial objects. We know that a range of entities, including countries, companies, and research organizations, operate objects at altitudes for purposes that are not nefarious, including legitimate scientific research. I want to be clear. We don't have any evidence that there has been a sudden increase in the number of objects in the sky. We're now just seeing more of them, partially because the steps we've taken to increase our radars, to narrow our radars.
Now, really quickly about that. Here's President Biden, somebody who has had very little to say, almost nothing, about UAP. Notice his characterization of them as unidentified aerial objects, not anomalous phenomenon, not UAP. But he is essentially saying that when he came into office that he had directed our intelligence community, whatever you want to call these things, he had been giving orders for them to take it seriously, to collect what information they could. So one thing that comes out of this statement the other day and seems quite evident now is that Biden, of course, is saying, yeah, ever since I've been in office, I've taken this really seriously. All these developments that have been happening during my administration. I may not have spoken out about it publicly very much, but yeah, I've been directing the intelligence community to lead the effort in trying to get to the bottom of what these things are. Now, we had reported at the debrief shortly after Biden took office that indeed, according to Jen Psaki, who then at the time was the White House press secretary, when she was asked by members of the press corps whether the president supported the efforts of the UAP task force, she said essentially that yes, of course he does, but the president himself had never really had much to say about it. And so even if these objects were research balloons that were shot down, and even if we never really will know 100% if that's the case, if that's just the leading theory right now about what they were, it is notable that during this statement, when Biden finally felt that he had to come out and address this, there was mounting political pressure for him to do so, and this all came to a head last Thursday. It did result in Biden acknowledging now for the first time, hey, since I took office, this is something I've wanted the intelligence community to look at, and they continue to do so. So I thought, if nothing else, that that was noteworthy. But let's get back to a little of this audio.
And we have to keep adapting our approach to dealing with these challenges. That's why I've directed my team to come back to me with sharper rules for how we will deal with these unidentified objects moving forward, distinguishing between those that are likely to pose safety and security risks that necessitate action and those that do not. But make no mistake, if any object presents a threat to the safety and security of the American people, I will take it down. I'll be sharing with Congress these classified policy parameters when they are completed, and they'll remain classified so we don't give our roadmap to our enemies to try to evade our defenses.
Now, we should point out right there on that point, when he's talking about he will share these classified parameters with Congress and they will remain classified, he's talking, of course, about what the Wall Street Journal reported last week, following initial statements by John Kirby up there at the White House, that were describing that there would be a new task force that Biden's national security advisor would be leading. This new task force is going to be looking at the UAP question, or at very least, similar incursions to those that occurred in recent days and resulted in these shootdowns. But that announcement, of course, was a bit controversial because there are some, and rightly so, who are now asking, well, we had a UAP task force, and that was replaced at the direction of Congress by a new organization within the DOD, which originally was called AIMSOG, but now it's called the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office because Congress directed that there'd be an expansion of what it would do and where it would look for these objects. But now, after a Chinese spy balloon was watched drifting over the United States, and then three objects, which, again, technically remain unidentified. Yeah, these three objects were shot down over North America. Now we seem to have the White House appointing an all-new task force to look at unidentified aerial objects. I'm using the president's own wording right there. And so some, like Marco Rubio last week, were saying, you know, I'm concerned, first of all, that there's going to be this task force. They're going to be looking at this stuff. There's going to be classified information. Some of it will be shared with Congress, but it's going to remain classified. And Rubio was saying, we already have a department at the DOD that's supposed to look at this, don't we? It's called Arrow. So is there a possibility that Arrow will not be kept in the loop about all of the determinations made by President Biden's new UFO task force? Or UAO task force, I guess, technically? I mean, these are relevant questions. Marco Rubio seemed to be concerned about that as he spoke with reporters last week, and others have raised similar concerns. So when Biden's talking about those classified elements that will be shared with Congress, but which will remain classified so that we don't give our roadmap to our enemies, that in part is what he's talking about. Let's get back to the audio.
Going forward, these parameters will guide what actions we'll take while responding to unmanned and unidentified aerial objects. We're going to keep adapting them as the challenges evolve, if it evolves. In addition, I've directed my national security advisor to lead a government-wide effort to make sure we are positioned to deal safely and effectively with the objects in our airspace. First, we will establish a better inventory of unmanned airborne objects in space above the United States airspace and make sure that inventory is accessible and up to date. Second, we'll implement further measures to improve our capacity to detect unmanned objects in our airspace. Third, we'll update the rules and regulations for launching and maintaining unmanned objects in the skies above the United States of America. And fourth, my Secretary of State will lead an effort to help establish common global norms in this largely unregulated space. These steps will lead to safer and more secure skies for our air travelers, our military, our scientists, and for people on the ground as well. That's my job as your President and Commander-in-Chief. As the events of the previous days have shown, we'll always act to protect the interest of the American people and the security of the American people. Since I came to office, we've developed the ability to identify, track, and study high-altitude surveillance balloons connected with the Chinese military. When one of these high-altitude surveillance balloons entered our airspace over the continental United States earlier in the month, I gave the order to shoot it down as soon as it would be safe to do so. The military advised against shooting it down over land because of the sheer size of it. It was the size of multiple school buses and posed a risk to people on the ground if it was shot down where people lived. Instead, we tracked it closely. We analyzed its capabilities. And we learned more about how it operates. And because we knew its path, we were able to protect sensitive sites against collection. We waited until it was safely over water, which would not only protect civilians, but also enable us to recover substantial components for further analytics.
Now, I have maintained that what the president is outlining right there about the reasons for allowing that balloon to pass all the way across the United States before it was shot down. I mean, he got a lot of pushback about that, not only from his political opponents. You know, I saw a lot of smart alecks out there on Twitter saying things like, you know, we can track anomalous objects and we can film them with our tracking capabilities, but we don't have the technology to take down a spy balloon. Really? That's all it takes? A balloon to completely evade our defenses? Well, that's not really what happened, okay? Yes, they were tracking it. They sent U-2 spy planes to go up there and get additional visuals, but in addition to that, some of the latest intel suggests they were also jamming any communications coming from its payload that might have been dispatched back to China. Actually, the latest intel is that perhaps rather than being spotted as it was approaching the United States and Biden being briefed on it early in the week, they'd actually been tracking that thing since about the time that it was actually launched from China. I think NPR came out and said that late last week. So obviously we had known a lot about this spy balloon well before it even reached the United States. President Biden had been briefed on it earlier in the week before civilians saw it from a commercial aircraft. And then, of course, once that story got out, Wall Street Journal, I think, had been the first to report it. The proverbial cat was out of the bag and everybody was talking about it. Then again, when you've got a balloon roughly the size of the Statue of Liberty with a dangling payload beneath it that's the size of three school buses, and it's at a relatively low altitude of 60,000 feet, I mean, comparatively for other large balloons like that, which usually operate much higher, I think maybe as high as about 110,000 feet. Yeah, that's pretty large, and it's low enough that a lot of people are going to see it. Hence why my neighbors were going out at around 8:50 a.m., and they were photographing the thing as it passed through clear blue skies over the Carolinas. And then it was shot down later that day once it got out over the water. I actually understand the logic there. But I also realize that people use that as a political vehicle for attack against President Biden. And make no mistake, by the way, I'm not a fan of everything that the president does or says, but I am also trying to be a nonpartisan analyst, as I always do on this program. So please set the spin aside, at least for now. That's what we do on this program. And right now, I want to get back into this audio again. We're almost done. We're just going to feature a little more from his speech last week as it relates to the shoot down of these three mystery objects, which now forever may remain mysterious since they've called off the search.
And then we shot it down, sending a clear message. The violation of our sovereignty is unacceptable. We'll act to protect our country, and we did. Now, this past Friday, we put restrictions on six firms that directly support the People's Republic Liberation Army, the People's Liberation Army Aerospace Program that includes airships and balloons, denying them access to U.S. technology. We briefed our diplomatic partners and our allies around the world, and we know about China's program and where their balloons had flown. Some of them have also raised their concerns directly with China. Our exports have lifted components of the Chinese balloon's payload off the ocean floor. We're analyzing them as I speak, and what we learn will strengthen our capabilities. Now, we'll also continue to engage with China, as we have throughout the past 2 weeks, As I've said since the beginning of my administration, we seek competition, not conflict with China. We're not looking for a new Cold War, but I make no apologies, and we will compete. And we'll responsibly manage that competition so that it doesn't veer into conflict.
Well, I got news for you. Right now, it's looking an awful lot like conflict is potentially brewing, and many people in recent days have used those very words, Cold War, to refer to where we are at this moment. But of course, the more pertinent question as it relates to the shootdown of these objects in recent days is, what were they? We have a few likely possibilities. We're going to look at that and much more as our analysis continues here in a moment. We will be right back right after this here on the Micah Hanks Program. Back as the U.S. war against mystery objects, suspected balloons, unidentified aerial phenomena continues. We, of course, are trying to make sense of all this madness. Before we get right back into things here, I do want to remind you, if you aren't already an ex-subscriber, it's a great way to show support for this program and, of course, get a little something to show for it. And that to the tune of weekly additional podcasts, the X podcast for subscribers, that is. And, of course, monthly specials. We now have 100 episodes of Enigmas, our monthly deep dive into everything from the unexplained to science fiction. Of course, we also feature, as a tradition around the holidays, a classic Victorian-era ghost story by M.R. James. So that's the fun side of what we do, in addition to all the news and analysis that we provide. But for ex-subscribers, that's just $7 a month. And of course, it gets you access to all of that. We are currently right now in the process of redesigning the X subscribers website. It's going to be at an all new location. It's going to have an all new look and feel. And it's going to, of course, improve how subscribers get access to all the additional content from yours truly. So definitely check that out. We have a link to where you can sign up right there in the show notes. And of course, you can find that over at MicahHanks.com/podcast. But now getting back into things, I want to quote briefly from the article that had been featured there at the Wall Street Journal last week. Amid a baffling series of incidents in which the U.S. has shot down three unidentified flying objects, the White House said Monday it would create a team expected to study airborne objects and the potential security and safety risks they pose. In other words, a new UFO task force, as we heard Biden discussing in the audio soundbites from his statement last week before the break. The new group, Wall Street Journal reported, created at the behest of National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, would comprise elements of the Pentagon, the Federal Aviation Administration, the Department of Homeland Security, and other government agencies, said U.S. officials. The group will look at the broader policy implications of the objects for detection, analysis, and disposition, said John Kirby, a spokesman for the National Security Council on Monday. Every element of the government will redouble their efforts to understand and mitigate these events, he said. But U.S. officials said they couldn't explain what the other three objects were, even after closely studying them in the air before shooting them down. Now, that's an interesting point, too, because we have continued in recent days to see reporters at these press conferences asking about the footage that was obtained of these objects. Apparently, there was footage obtained of the three objects that were shot down. And yet they say that because the jets were having to move in very quickly and the objects were very small, visual conditions weren't great, so you can't really make out exactly what the objects were. You can see them, but you can't identify them. But of course, the big question here is, okay, you guys got video. You were able to see these objects. You say you don't know what they were. You still say they are unidentified, but you shot them down. So is that part of the U.S. policy now? Anything we see in the air, even if we can't identify it, we shoot it down. Shoot first, ask questions later. I mean, it's a valid question, isn't it? Is that a responsible policy to have going forward? Or has the U.S. just become temporarily trigger-happy? Again, important questions. You know, over there at the Daily Mail, in recent days, Josh Boswell had written about a slide deck from a January 11th presentation that was delivered by Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick. He, of course, is the director of the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. But essentially, the slide deck that was leaked and reported about thereafter at the Daily Mail warned that the military is finding these UAP most often in the vicinity of U.S. military facilities and operating areas. I actually have a slightly different take on that. Might as well go ahead and offer that now. Yeah, of course the military is going to say that we most often find these things in the vicinity of U.S. military facilities and operating areas. But one reason for that, or at least for that perception, might actually have to do with the fact that the military are going to detect more of these things where the military is operating. In other words, there aren't going to be as many instances where F-A-18 Super Hornet pilots are flying out there over, I don't know, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right, Dallas, Texas, and they encounter and lock onto with their targeting pods an anomalous aerial object. No, of course, a lot of these objects will be detected where the military is operating. And so the perception that there are most often incidents occurring in military airspace or where military activities are being conducted, it actually may be that these things are quite ubiquitous indeed, but that with their detection capabilities, military personnel happen to detect them more often. And that again might actually give a misreading of the prevalence of UAP occurring around military sites. And one reason I think it's important to point that out is because if we lead with the presumption that military facilities and other areas where the military are operating, that's where most UAP are, then of course that might also lead us to think that, well, therefore, if most of these incidents are happening around those areas, that means that the objects in question, whoever is behind them, whatever is operating them, have an interest in the military and our sensitive facilities. Therefore, we might also conclude, and potentially erroneously conclude, that this is a foreign surveillance effort. You see what I'm saying there? Now, I don't doubt that there are a lot of UAP that actually are interested in our sensitive military areas, nor do I doubt that a lot of these UAP probably are foreign surveillance platforms. But we've got to be really careful about necessarily drawing conclusions along those lines based on perhaps a limited data set. A set of data, in other words, related to UAP and where they most often appear, but which is limited on account of the sensory capabilities of the personnel who are operating around those locations where the UAP are detected. That could potentially cause us to misinterpret more broadly what this phenomena is and what it's doing. And furthermore, it could also unintentionally lead us to draw conclusions about therefore what we think it is or who we think are operating these things. And there could be indeed more to this story. But now coming back over to Josh's article here from the Daily Mail, they're talking about Sean Kirkpatrick's presentation that leaked online, slides from this presentation, which, according to the verbiage that appeared on some of these slides, warned of threats to immediate safety of U.S. citizens and government facilities, and said that the military are finding unidentified anomalous phenomena most often again in the vicinity of U.S. military facilities and operating areas. One presentation slide, they note, says that the safety and security risks of UAP heighten U.S. government awareness and drives research and mitigation efforts. Now that's important right there. Drives research and mitigation efforts. We might argue, and maybe this is part of what Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick is trying to convey, that indeed whether or not UAP are seen all over the place, right, even if they show up some of the time around military facilities, this is therefore a military issue and one that should drive, you guessed it, efforts to develop new technologies that can help us understand them and mitigate potential risks they may present. So you might say, in other words, that there are a lot of research and development opportunities, right? A lot of industrial opportunities that sightings of UAP present us with. I want to quote from one of these slides here. the potentially ubiquitous presence of UAP, yeah, defines the national security implications and drives the broad range of stakeholders and demand for rigorous scientific understanding and of intelligence on phenomena. Dr. Kirkpatrick features three columns titled U.S. Territory and Operating Areas, U.S. Strategic Capabilities, and Foreign Territory and Operating Areas, where he reemphasizes several times how often UAP appear to be reported near strategic capabilities and critical infrastructure. Something else that's interesting that appears here, he notes also that historical analysis is limited by information currency and source reliability. You can probably imagine what that means. In other words, we want to know that we've got reliable source material when we look into the history of this subject. Going and reading popular books written by popular authors on this subject, in other words, may not be the most reliable source material in terms of diving into the history. Boy, I wish that Dr. Kirkpatrick and the folks at Arrow would talk to my friend David Marler, who's just launched the National UFO Historical Records Center. You know, I was out there in recent days, and David and I were going through all these documents. Talk about a trove of information related to the history of this topic. I mean, I think that that kind of info might be of great benefit to Dr. Kirkpatrick and the folks at Arrow, whose efforts I support, by the way. And so if indeed any Arrow personnel happen to be out there listening, take my word for it, David would be the guy to talk to. I hope maybe he hears from them. But anyway, the big takeaway from this document or this series of slides that is leaked online and that the Daily Mail has now reported on is that they had essentially been warning lawmakers and Pentagon officials for weeks already that, you know, there are going to be aerial incursions along the lines of what we saw last weekend, the response to which has been characterized by some as near hysterical. I don't know. What do you guys think? info@MicahHanks.com. You can tweet at me, @MicahHanks. Was the U.S. warranted in reacting the way that it did? Or was that a little bit of a overreaction? Was the Biden administration being a little trigger happy? You know, a lot of people have mixed feelings about this. I do too, and of course, due in part to the fact that I think just 2 days ago they called off the search, so now we will probably never know exactly what the objects were. Imagine taking an apple, and instead of slicing it with a knife, you tried to slice it with a bulldozer. If indeed some of these objects were just simple research balloons, shooting them down with $600,000 missiles, that's probably not going to leave much wreckage, is it? And in fact, as many have also suggested, and I certainly think this is the case, if indeed the argument could be made that the Biden administration's reaction was overreaction to a non-threat, perhaps the very best thing that could happen would be that they never recover any of the debris, because if they did, it might actually make us look worse. In other words, it might be beneficial right now to the Biden administration if there is no debris ever recovered. That's probably the way they want it. But what will be the unintended consequences? Imagine this scenario. 30 years from now, a UFO historian writes a book about the three UAPs that were shot down over North America and the conspiracy to conceal the information about the recovery of those objects. I mean, don't think for a moment that that couldn't happen. It already did happen. Remember back in 1947, when an alleged weather balloon came down on a ranch in New Mexico, and the media rushed to print with a story about a saucer that came down, but the next day they clarified actually that saucer, well, the wreckage was indeed recovered, and now it's been identified it was just a weather balloon. That actually was a cover-up, at least according to the official narrative, when the U.S. Air Force came out back in the 1990s and finally admitted, yeah, that was a classified project called Project Mogul, but it was still a balloon, make no mistake. The thing is, they had lied, though, and many said, well, if you lied to cover up the truth once, why wouldn't you just do it again? There, of course, were and still are people who argue to this day that it had really been a flying saucer, just as it had been initially reported by the press. But I mean, a lot of UFO researchers, a lot of serious UFO historians highly doubt that the Roswell incident involved a real flying saucer, the recovery of little alien bodies. I have to say, I also err more on the side of skepticism on that one. But my point is, that has happened before. What was described as a balloon went down, and for decades thereafter, claims of cover-up and the continuation of a story that got more and more sensational as time went on. First, it was just a craft. Then there were bodies, But then the Roswell story further evolved to include a survivor who loved Tibetan music and strawberry ice cream. That's right, an alleged extraterrestrial biological entity that lived alongside military officials and ate ice cream in its spare time after having survived an alleged crash that occurred in the summer of 1947. Don't think for a minute that the same thing couldn't happen here, and that's what many officials have said in recent days. They're concerned about how the public will spin this in light of the fact that there has still been no definitive explanation for what these objects were. They are still being called unidentified objects. But that doesn't mean that we don't have an idea what they might be. So here in a moment, we're going to look at that. We're also going to look at the side of the coin where the Pentagon has remained the quietest. That maybe is the most interesting part of all this. We'll get into that and much more here in a moment as we wrap up this week's installment of the Micah Hanks Program. Welcome back. Check this one out. AP reporting in recent days, decisions to shoot down multiple unidentified objects over the U.S. and Canada have put a spotlight on amateur balloonists who insist their creations pose no threat. Yeah. Over the last 3 weeks, they say U.S. President Joe Biden has ordered fighter jets to shoot down three objects detected in U.S. airspace. Of course, all this in the aftermath of a suspected Chinese spy balloon that was shot down off the South Carolina coast. But a lot of folks are indeed saying that despite there being no definitive identification of the three objects that were shot down, they were probably balloons linked to private companies, weather researchers, or more simply, hobbyists. That's right, hobbyists, not aliens. They give, for example, Tom Medlin here, the owner of a Tennessee-based amateur radio roundtable podcast and a balloon hobbyist himself, and he says he's been in contact with an Illinois club that believes the object shot down over the Yukon was one of their balloons. Yeah, what's called a pico balloon. They quote Mr. Medlin here saying the spy balloon had to be shot down. That was a national security threat for sure. But then, listen to this, he says. What happened is I think the government got a little anxious. Maybe the word is trigger happy. I don't know. When they shot them down, they didn't know what they were. That is a little concerning. So here we have a hobbyist who launches balloons that carry small solar-powered transmitters, each weighing less than 2 grams, and that broadcast a signal every 10 minutes or so that ham radio operators around the world then can use to track the balloon's locations. Let's not forget that in the instance of one of those balloons or balloon-like objects that was observed over Alaska before it was shot down, some of the fighter pilots said that it was messing with their sensors. Yeah, there have also been whispers in recent days. Tim McMillan was tweeting about this the other day, and he and I had a private chat about it too. Yeah, there have been whispers in recent days that some of those objects that were shot down were also producing radio frequencies. I mean, they sound an awful lot like they were probably hobbyist balloons. So, since Tim was driving at the moment, MJ Benias and I, doing our due diligence, all of us reporting there at the debrief, he contacted NORAD, I contacted the duty officer at the Pentagon, Tim McMillan reached out directly to Susan Goff. We all three got responses, all three of the responses were, we have nothing for you on that. But that isn't the only thing that the Pentagon hasn't been willing to comment on in recent days. There was this piece over at Fox News featuring a video from filmmaker Jeremy Corbell. And Corbell is saying that Susan Goff at the Pentagon will not comment on this image that he and George Knapp have recently released of a small orb. It's essentially metallic in appearance, but it was photographed allegedly over Mosul, Iraq. And this was featured on a briefing slide and is itself unclassified, but had been something that was being discussed by the UAP task force. So Jeremy Corbell's been talking about this and how the Pentagon will not say anything about it. And I can go ahead and I can confirm that I too have reached out to Susan Goff at the Pentagon and asked about whether or not they can confirm that this object and the photograph of it were indeed something the UAP task force had looked at. In the past, they generally respond to our queries. They are not responding about this one, which I certainly find unusual, and therefore, it wasn't surprising to me when I saw Jeremy Corbell talking about this. I want to feature a bit of the audio from the video he has posted online where he addresses this.
I find it very disturbing that the Department of Defense, and specifically Susan Goh, who is the only person that is frontward facing to the American public to talk about UAP, she is anointed and designated as the one spokesperson for the DoD on the UAP topic. Why is it that all of a sudden, even though this image is contained within the same classified briefing as all of the videos and images that I released with George Knapp when it comes to 2019 off the West Coast, why is it now that the DoD is unwilling to comment on if this image is, one, filmed by the military, two, initially designated as UAP, and three, part of the active UAP investigations of AARO, which is All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, which is our government's new UFO study program? Why has the policy changed where the American public is not being told the truth about the Mosul orb image? Why have they not released the video? This is not an inherently classified image. The American public has a right to know.
I think that the American public does have a right to know. I agree. And in fact, actually, last spring at the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies conference down in Huntsville, Alabama, Jeremy and George Knapp showed up, and Jeremy and I had a beer or two and caught up and talked about all this. And indeed, I definitely think, mirroring his sentiments there, that the American people do have a right to know. But it's not just journalists and filmmakers who are saying that. Again, following that classified briefing last Tuesday on Capitol Hill, those senators were coming out of that briefing saying, look, I don't see why so much of this information is classified. Why the DoD will not tell the American public there are objects in the sky that we can't identify. Now, of course, there are a lot of speculations about what some of these recent incidents might involve, although the National Weather Service has come out in recent days and they have said all of our balloons are accounted for. It's not our stuff. So in other words, with all these discussions about, well, there may be weather balloons and research balloons and things up there, and that might be what we shot down out of an abundance of caution. Yeah, the National Weather Service says, look, we track our balloons. We know where every one of them are. None have gone unaccounted for. So it's not ours. Don't point the finger at us. That doesn't rule out hobbyists, by the way. Keep in mind that the audio from the fighter pilot who, after a first attempt that failed, in a second attempt, apparently was able to get one of those $600,000 missiles to shoot down an object over the Great Lakes, he did say it resembled a Pico balloon. That again referring to the kinds of hobbyist balloons we were talking about that the gentleman, Mr. Medlin over there in Tennessee, launches from time to time. And also get this. It was just reported this morning that there have now been sightings over Honolulu, Hawaii, of an alleged large white balloon that pilots observed. So far as I can tell, this one remains unconfirmed. But indeed, The Sun reporting this morning, reports are flooding in that a large white balloon was seen by pilots over Honolulu, Hawaii. And of course, just days after the last one was shot down off the East Coast. Apparently, a lot of these reports were making their way onto Twitter, flooding social media with claims that pilots had seen what is being described as a large white balloon that was approximately 40,000 feet over Honolulu. One of the tweets asked, is this China? Or is the U.S. Air Force about to accidentally shoot down another weather balloon? Huh. That's kind of funny. I mean, on the one hand, you do kind of have to laugh about all of this. And many people are actually saying, you know, this is no laughing matter. All this discussion about unidentified objects, this is all just politics. So, what is actually going on here? If we had to try and ascribe some kind of narrative to all this, what's really happening? Why were the objects shot down? What does it all mean, and how, or does it at all, relate to truly anomalous UAP? Well, if I had to guess, this would be essentially how I think this all shook down, what it all really means, what really happened. If we're to try and make sense of this, my speculations are as follows. U.S. intelligence agencies probably were tracking that large suspected spy balloon as it made its way across the Pacific. Biden was informed about it. The president, of course, advised that it be shot down when it could safely be brought down, but they said, well, now it's over the mainland. We're going to continue to monitor it. We can jam any kind of signals that it's sending and dispatching back to China, but that way we can also collect more information before we destroy it. But of course, that incident was seen as advantageous for Biden's enemies, and therefore they used it against him in order to criticize him for not taking action swiftly and soon enough. Now, despite the fact that NPR and other outlets have reported that they had been tracking that balloon far sooner than the public had been made aware initially, there probably was the realistic recognition by Pentagon officials that, hey, if things like that are going to be operating in our airspace, we do need to be able to track them. We do perhaps need to expand the velocity gates on our radars to ensure we don't miss any others. What if there are others out there right now? And so, of course, last Friday, while Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was meeting with the new Minister of Defense for Canada at the Pentagon and talking about enhancing radar capabilities for NORAD, indeed, this process was already underfoot, and by Thursday night, an object had already been detected. This time, of course, knowing what his opponents would say, and also fearing how this would be perceived by foreign adversaries like China, Mr. Biden says take those objects down, waste no time. And that's exactly what they did. Now, of course, there were the recovery efforts, but knowing all along that there was a good chance that these objects were something fairly innocuous, and in the days that followed, with absolutely no data pointing at all to the likelihood that these were involved in any kind of balloon surveillance by China, how likely do we really think it is that the Pentagon or the White House wanted that debris to be recovered so that they could come out and admit, hey, you know what, we just shot down three weather balloons or hobbyist balloons or whatever? The White House had already come out by early last week and said that the leading theories were that these were either research-oriented or they were otherwise benign. Maybe they were commercial. Yeah, it probably would have done the White House no favors if this debris had been recovered. And so therefore, it's of course no surprise that within about a week, the research effort, which had been hindered the entire time by inclement weather up there, both off the Alaskan coast and also over the Great Lakes, that indeed we're going to go ahead and call it quits. After all, it's taxpayer money at work. But the bottom line is this, they probably didn't really want to find that debris and only confirm what so many already suspected. They shot down a bunch of balloons and probably acted a little too quickly. The question, of course, remains. China is saying that the U.S. is acting too aggressive, but there could be a benefit here if indeed they perceive that, well, we better not fly any more balloons because now we know exactly how the U.S. is going to react. And so a lot of folks who've been concerned in recent days, what does this mean? Are we going to war? What's China doing right now? Are they going to be doing more of it? Probably in the weeks and months ahead, you're going to see less. I'm thinking that's probably going to be the case in light of how the U.S. reacted. But finally, how does all this relate to real UAP? Now, I've seen skeptics in recent days online saying, yep, these objects were balloons, even though in fairness, the White House has not actually confirmed that that's what they are. They have continued to call them objects. But I've seen skeptics who have continued to say they were balloons. And so we realistically have to assume that probably a lot of the objects that the report that Arrow put out this year that described UAS or UAS-like and what else? That's right, balloon and balloon-like objects. Yeah, a lot of those quote-unquote UAPs probably are balloons. We're just going to have to accept that maybe these UAP aren't so extraordinary after all. But I say, to the contrary, don't forget about the other part in that report that described some of these things. At least a few of them do seem to possess capabilities that are harder for us to explain. They do seem to be demonstrating technologies that the U.S. can't account for. It seems at very least to be implied that some of the technological capabilities that these objects demonstrate cannot be attributed to our adversaries and certainly cannot be attributed to the U.S. Think again about that Tic Tac scene in 2004 that in her op-ed Friday morning there at thedebrief.org, former fighter pilot Alex Dietrich is talking about. There are a lot of military personnel who have said the things we have seen were not balloons. The things we have seen were not simple, mundane objects, and they probably weren't linked to foreign adversaries. The kinds of things that we have seen were truly out of this world. I've got news for you. having spent some time recently out there at the National UFO Historical Records Center in New Mexico, having read about this subject and the history supporting it for many decades, I indeed think that there is a deeper history. I indeed think that there is a more complex phenomenon, and that while the government continues to collect information on a range of different things that may represent challenges in our airspace, and yes, many probably are balloons, several probably are drones, several probably do belong to countries like China and other foreign adversaries of the U.S. Make no mistake, at the end of the day, I do think that at least a minority of the reports that are being collected by Aero right now also suggest that there is something else, something more complex in our skies. And I suspect, based on the history I've studied, that it's been there for quite a while. So maybe in the days ahead, we will look more deeply at that history and try to give a few examples of some of the best cases that history provides that do seem to show that there is a complex phenomena and it's been with us for a while. But that will have to be saved for another time. That about wraps up this week's program. As always, you can follow me online at MicahHanks.com and TheDebrief.org. Thanks for being here. And until next time, you guys stay strange out there. I'll catch you next time on the Micah Hanks program.